Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
With the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, February the 13th, 2024, 14 minutes past the hour. And boy, have you tuned in on the right morning this morning. We have a lot to talk about here this morning. And it's just interesting stuff. We're going to have to get into it here. And again, I hope we have the phone participation that we had yesterday. Phone lines will remain open during the entire program today, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, let's start out with the easy stuff here. Our McDonald's flyers. Now, I've read this one before, but, you know, we'll do it again here quickly. Digital Fridays, free six-piece chicken McNugget when downloading or using the app, February 9th, 16th, and 23rd. I guess we can scratch out the 9th there because we've already been through that. But we've got the 16th or the 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday. A free six-piece chicken McNugget when downloading or using the app. Now, the new flyer that I got this morning. Now, there is a flyer for Valentine's Day tomorrow. Apparently, you get some cookies if you order a certain amount of food tomorrow. And I'll tell you, if you really want to impress your girl or boyfriend or fiance or husband or wife, take them to McDonald's on Valentine's Day. Get those free cookies. All right, here's the new deal. Free Shamrock Shake. See, we're already past Valentine's Day now. We're already looking into St. Patrick's Day. Exclusively on DoorDash, orders of $15 or more from February 25th through March the 4th. They're starting early with this one. A free Shamrock Shake, exclusively on DoorDash, orders of $15 or more February 25th through March the 4th. So that's the McDonald's news this morning. All right, let's get into all the other stuff going on here. Well, we're going to start with two happy notes. Well, we're going to start with a few happy notes, and then we're going to get into some of the drama of the morning this morning. And you know, some of this, well, you know what, we'll just get to it in a minute. I have an announcement to make that on Friday, now here's the time frame on Friday I think this is going to happen. 9:15 a.m. on Friday until 11 a.m. on Friday, you're not going to want to miss the broadcast because, now this will... For people who've been listening to me for a long time, this will be a nice little teaser for you. Somebody who used to be on the radio with me pretty regularly is returning, and I believe they're going to be on once a week, every Friday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m., is returning this Friday after 12 years. I have not been on the air with this person for 12 years. The last time they were on with me, well, I was thinking about this morning, was June of 2012. June of 2012. So it's nearly been 12 years since this person has been on with me, and I used to do a weekly segment with this person, and they're coming home this coming Friday, 9:15 until 11 a.m., and it's going to be a lot of fun because I so look forward to seeing this person again. We used to have a tremendous amount of fun together, and coming back on Friday mornings to do this type of program, I'm really looking forward to it. So tune in Friday morning. Well, tune in Friday morning regardless. Tune in Friday morning, especially this Friday, for the big return of the person who... was on weekly with me. Every Wednesday morning they were on with me for quite a while, but have not been on. And matter of fact, I don't think I have had them on. I've seen them, but I don't think I've had them on in 12 years. I think the last time they did their last Wednesday morning segment with me 12 years ago in June of 2012 was the last time we did anything. So they'll be back this Friday after a 12-year absence, 9:15 a.m. until 11 a.m. So I look forward to that. Now, I've got a congratulations here to lay out, and I can't tell you much here because I want to let the person do it themselves, but I want to pat them on the back. Our friend Matt Morgan here at the station, who came aboard with us last May, of course, is on the Friday night program, Friday morning show, has really booked his first big interview. Now, he told me about this last night, and I'm not exactly sure when the interview is going to happen. It would seem to me like it's going to happen probably in the next week. But I'm so proud of him because he decided he wanted to interview this person. He went out and got the interview himself. And I will let him make the announcement as to who it is and when it's going to be on. I imagine he will tell us this on Friday. So Friday will be another big day for that. But again, it just speaks to the fact that Matt and Carrington, who have just come into this broadcast business in the last year, hasn't even been a year yet, Matt and May and Carrington in July, are doing just a fantastic job. So I certainly have to take my Cubs cap off to Matt and really give him credit for this big get. And I'm very interested to see how he's going to handle this person because it should be interesting. I don't want to give away any hints because I don't want to steal his thunder. I just want to tell you how proud I am of him. You know, it's so, I come on here and I say funny things, hopefully funny things. I say funny things all the time, and sometimes I make light of people who've been on the show in the past and so on and so forth, and I do that really just in fun. That's really all that's about. But it is so great to be proud of somebody who is actually doing things and trying to progress their career, and I really, really, really appreciate that. And I'm excited for Matt, and I will let him make any further announcements in regard to this when we talk to him next, I believe, on Friday morning. So don't miss that on Friday morning either. See, we're putting together the right team. I've said this before. Pastor Craig came back. Matt came in the fold. Carrington came in the fold. We already have the great foundation of Linda and Sean and Terry and Adam and myself. And now possibly And now possibly this person is coming back on Friday morning. And I think if I even gave you the first name, though, you might not remember who it is. It's been 12 years, and it's a pretty common first name. But they'll be back on Friday morning. So, you know, we just keep piling it up, and having a great time here around the station. It could not be any better. Okay, well, President's Day is coming up on Monday, and we really have, you know, by the way, before I move on, last week I spent a lot of time talking about who's going to be the next Madge Cooper. Well, you know what? There are people coming back here after a certain period of time. There are people here, as I said, Carrington would obviously be a nomination to be the next Madge Cooper. So, hey, you know, and maybe it's not one of these people. Maybe it's somebody else that I'm not aware of yet. But I'm so glad that we're putting together the correct team here at WGH Talk. We're just getting started. We're going to be around for a long, long time. All right, so don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon. Okay, President's Day coming up on Monday. I think we're going to have a special show on President's Day, so you'll want to tune in Monday morning from 8:15 until 10 a.m. I'll tell you more about that as we get closer to President's Day. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Does anybody really care? I'll tell you something interesting about this whole Valentine's Day thing, and you can say it's because I'm jaded in love or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, what's very strange to me about Valentine's Day, and this has always been strange to me, why do we need to be reminded to do something nice for the person we allegedly love? I don't quite understand that. Why is it that, you know, a chocolate box of candy or flowers or a card or jewelry or whatever you do. A lot of people propose on Valentine's Day. I hate to say, I'm going to say this as discreetly as possible. There are a lot of babies born in November because of Valentine's Day. It's very strange in a way, but like you have to be reminded. It's also Ash Wednesday, by the way, for people who are interested in that part of the thing. But yeah, Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday tomorrow, so there you go. Do what you do on Valentine's Day, I guess. But I just have always felt it to be very superficial in the idea that I need to be reminded to do something nice for you. Now some people will say, oh, I didn't need to be reminded. I do nice stuff for you all the time. Really? Think about it. How many days of the year do you go out and buy heart-shaped candy or get flowers or you know, do things of this nature? Just a Wednesday. If this was just a regular Wednesday and we weren't calling it Valentine's Day, would you do it? Probably not. But that's the way it goes. But I will say this. I do like getting Valentine's Day. Now, I know that seems counteractive from what I just said. But here's what I want to say about Valentine's Day. Is that I think we put too much into this day. And again, it's not a holiday. I think we put too much into this day as far as love, being in love with somebody. You know, I think Valentine's Day is just about general love. When we were a kid, we used to put the Valentine's Day and every card in everybody's shoebox and make sure everybody got one and everybody got some candy and it was a day to have a party at school. You know, why can't we continue that into adulthood? Why wouldn't you get something for somebody who maybe you just love, not in love with, but maybe you just love them for whatever reason? Why wouldn't you just get them a box of chocolates, something they like? Why wouldn't you get them? I'm a big fan of handwritten things. I think, you know, a nice handwritten note or make your own Valentine like you used to do when you were a kid. You know, the red heart and write a little message in there. You know, hey, you're great. I appreciate you being around. Write a poem. Valentine's Day is about poems. So do something nice for somebody. It doesn't have to be all this lovey-dovey stuff. I mean, if it is the lovey-dovey stuff, you know, good for you. But I don't know. It just, here's the bottom line on this. And we'll probably talk more about this tomorrow. But if you are married to somebody or you are dating somebody, I would hope that they know that you like them. So to have to remind them on this day, that seems odd to me. But your friends, there's not a friend day. You don't have friend anniversaries. You don't do that. So I think it's more to the point to do something nice for a friend. And I know a lot of people who do stuff for their kids. I think that's nice too. So that's my whole take on Valentine's Day at this particular point. Now, let's get to the big story. Now, I know that people, let's take the phone call here, then we'll come back to this. Maybe we've struck a nerve already here this morning. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, tomorrow is my youngest son's first wedding anniversary, and I was at a complete loss as to what to get him for an anniversary gift, but thanks to you, I now know we'll be going for some free nugs.
Oh, really? I think of us as kind of the home shopping network from time to time.
Yeah, you just saved my life.
Well, I'm so glad. So your son got married on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. A lot of that goes on. There's a lot of marriages, a lot of proposals, a lot of babies being made on Valentine's Day. That's a big day for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed you last night.
Oh, hey, by the way, what happened? Did anything go down of any importance?
Not as much, and we got out at 8:30.
Well, I'll tell you, it was funny because I looked at the agenda last night, and it didn't seem like there was anything on there of any consequence, so I thought, well, you know, I'll take this Monday off. But I did want to ask you, did that position pass that Mayor Collins wanted?
I don't I knew you were going to see that, but I didn't want to bring it out.
Oh, no, no, it's...
Being a newcomer to council and somebody who, like... I mean, I did fairly well in civics, but my goodness, that was 25 years ago. But I want to say that he said that if they wanted to pass it, they could, and that they didn't necessarily have to fill the position right now, but that it was something they could have if they needed it in the future.
What was there any more between Schauber and Ratliff and the gang after the blow-up last time they had a meeting?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you there was zero snark, but they kept it to a dull war.
And anything with the auditor, I guess, would be the last question?
Not much new.
Well, that's good. Did you stay for Bill Collins' State of the City? Did that happen?
I think they said that it was accessible, like, online. He didn't give it orally.
Oh, so he didn't do it orally last night.
Right. Now, but you can look it up if you want to read it or whatever.
So nothing of grand importance last night?
Nothing really jumped off the page at me.
Well, that's what I was thinking. When I looked at the agenda yesterday afternoon, I thought there's really not much here to cover.
Even though everything may not make sense to me, I'm just telling myself, the more you go and the more you watch the parliamentary procedure or whatever.
Right.
Like how they have the meetings and what it means to make a motion, and the more you read the agenda, like, you know, just the more I go, the more it'll make sense.
No, I commend you for going. I think the more you go, the better it is. I've just been going for, 20-something years now, so I can kind of pick and choose where the news stories are. But no, I think the fact I sincerely, we have a lot of fun, but I am completely proud of you for going, because I think it's such a great thing that you're getting involved in the community and paying attention to these things, because honestly, that's where all the business is done, those meetings on Monday nights.
I'm about to get real involved right now. I got to go serve the community. Have a good show, Scott.
Thanks, Sarah. All right. Well, you know what? I am proud of Sarah and anybody else who does that, goes to those meetings, who's able to go to those meetings. It's very, very important. And as Sarah said last night, there wasn't really anything of any consequence going on, so I did not attend last night's meeting. But should something come up of any consequence, I will go back. 31 minutes past the hour, and apparently we also help people with Valentine's Day. So, there's that. And you know what? We'll have to see all their pictures. Because you know what? Nobody can do anything without pictures anymore. We'll have to see all the lovey-dovey pictures tomorrow. And everybody will write nice notes about their loved ones. Oh, this is the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the most blah, blah. See, I don't even have to be a fortune teller to be able to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. And flowers will be delivered to people's work. Now, that's a very unique thing. I was talking with somebody the other day about that. Why do we always have the flowers delivered to work? Why don't we ever send them home? Well, it's pretty simple why we have the flowers delivered to work. So it's usually the girl, not a whole lot of guys sending, or girls sending guys flowers. But we do it so everybody can see it. The delivery man comes in and he's got the flowers, and then everybody at work goes, oh, who sent you flowers? And let's look at the card, and aren't those beautiful? I mean, it really is kind of an ego day, to be honest with you. And I'm not sure that we need any more ego in society. I think we've got enough ego going on right now. But if you want to do something nice for somebody you love, go ahead and do it. I'm not against that. But first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Valentine's Day, then comes divorce papers. I think that's the poem now. All right. Okay, that's Valentine's Day. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038, 33 minutes past the hour. Okay, well, now let's get into it. Now, yesterday, we talked a lot about the Super Bowl. And I understand some people get sick and tired of talking about this. But when a story is moving, when there's new stuff to add to it, I think it's worth talking about. And one thing that I think is worth talking about are the ratings for the Super Bowl. And by the way, Here, from CNN, here is the headline. Are you ready for this? Super Bowl sets ratings record with a staggering 123.4 million viewers, TV's biggest audience since the moon landing in 1969. Do you understand that? TV's biggest audience since the moon landing in 1969. The Super Bowl was the most watched television broadcast in a generation. Sunday's overtime thriller, which featured the Kansas City Chiefs facing off against the San Francisco 49ers, averaged 123.4 million viewers, CBS said Monday, breaking Super Bowl viewership records. The highly anticipated showdown in Las Vegas surpassed the previous most watched Super Bowl in history, a record set just last year when the Chiefs mounted a second-half comeback to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles in front of 115 million viewers. The audience for the Super Bowl was so large that it approached the all-time most-watched television broadcast set in 1969 when an estimated 125 to 150 million viewers watched the Apollo 11 moon landing. Okay, well, there you go. How about that? The Super Bowl was the, and here's the headline, most watched thing since the Apollo moon landing on the moon, 1969. Now, here's what I want to say. This is kind of funny in a way, because last year, the Super Bowl became the most watched program in television history. So, really, all they did was top last year's Super Bowl. Last year, what, 115 million. This year, 123 million. So it went up about 8 million viewers, which is probably the Taylor Swift effect. But nobody made such a big deal about it. Now, isn't that interesting? Last year's Super Bowl came in second to the moon landing, but nobody phrased it like that. So why are we phrasing it like that this year? You know, if you would read, this is on the BBC this morning too, the British Broadcasting Company. Super Bowl sets ratings record with a staggering 123.4 million viewers, TV's biggest audience since the moon landing. Well, it's also, last year, you could have said the same thing. 115 million people, biggest audience since the moon landing. I don't quite understand this. And by the way, these are the viewers. These are not the ratings. Now, that's a whole different thing. Ratings have to do with the percentage of people watching per, based on the televisions that are turned on. Now, MASH, the last episode of MASH still holds that record with something like 70% of all televisions in use were watching MASH at that time, the last episode of MASH. But more viewers at some point had this game on since the moon landing. But again, we're phrasing this like it's something new. Last year's Super Bowl was the most watched television program of all time. Why are we doing that? That's more of just a factual thing. And God bless them, you know, whatever. It's just a little strange to me that we did not, I don't remember any story last year about the Super Bowl being the most watched program of all time, nearly approaching the Apollo moon landing. Now, this year, that's exactly what the story is, and that's exactly what the headline is, and I think this is a whole media thing. I don't know, it just seems a little strange. But we'll let that be where it is, because those are the numbers, and I have no reason to doubt that those are the numbers. I mean, Taylor Swift was there. She did draw in a new audience. It was a big love story all season. And the game was good. It went into overtime. So I don't doubt these numbers. So that's fine. But what I do want to talk about are some things that I learned yesterday. And we talked a bit about them on the show, but this is kind of fascinating. In a new survey, in regard to Taylor Swift and the Super Bowl, this is fascinating. I think Taylor Swift is a distraction for the NFL. Now, this is what was asked of people. Now, this is Numerator took this poll. I think Taylor Swift is a distraction for the NFL. 34% of people said somewhat or completely that she is a distraction. 32% they didn't agree or disagree. And 32% didn't agree or disagree. And 34% somewhat or completely disagree that she takes attention away from the game. Now think about that. As many people, 34%, feel that she somewhat or completely is a distraction, is the same amount of people who feel that she's not taking any attention from the game. If those were politician numbers, that would be an extremely high unfavorable rating when your ratings match like that. And the headline is that she's becoming a divisive figure in the world of football. Now, you know, if I was her, if I was running her career, because once again, I have nothing bad to say about this girl, but I think she's really hurting her career. I really do. And let me just say, I make a lot of fun of Taylor Swift. I have a lot of fun with it because Carrington likes Taylor Swift and Matt does not like Taylor Swift. And it's just fun. It really doesn't mean anything to me. But according to Numerator, the fact that her unpopular ratings just because of being at these football games is this high, I think she better start to watch out. She's a very popular person. She's doing billion-dollar business with her music career. She might want to stay in her lane. Now, I'm certainly not telling Taylor Swift what to do, but if I was Taylor Swift, I would look at these numbers very seriously, and we all can say that polls don't matter, and this is really not true. Well, you know what? I'm out with the public, and I have to tell you, there were a lot of people yesterday who were very unhappy with the attention that was paid to her. Now, I'm not saying that everybody paid attention to her, but I had a female, and I'm not going to say who it was, but a female came up to me yesterday and was angry that people were posting, "I'm only watching the game because of Taylor Swift. I got to stay up till the end of the game to see if there's going to be a proposal. I got to watch this love story." It's starting to wear on people. In the beginning, it was okay. Now it's starting to wear on people. And again, I just want to read this survey again, and you can look it up yourself. It's from Numerator. The question was, "I think Taylor Swift is a distraction for the NFL. Of those who answered, 34% said somewhat or completely that she's a distraction. 32% neither agree nor disagree, and 34% somewhat or completely disagree that she takes attention away from the game." So essentially, you have a 50-50 split now. Of what's going on. You have a 50-50 split. And when I say stay in her lane, what I'm saying that stay in your music lane, because I think you are annoying people. But I would say the same thing to Mr. Kelce, because we're going to talk about him in just a second, because I got a little more to say about him this morning. So I think he needs to stay in his lane as well, because he's making her very unpopular. Now, one more thing about Taylor Swift. I didn't even know this, because to be honest with you, I am not a huge football fan. Anybody who listens to this program knows I'm not glued to the television, and I certainly was not glued to the television on Sunday night. But apparently Taylor Swift was seen drinking at the Super Bowl on the big screen during one of the cutaways where they went up to her. On the Jumbotron, she was seen drinking. And this is not going over very well. Now, again, she's a 30-something-year-old girl. Of course she's allowed to drink. Fine. But, again, you've got to be self-aware at some point of what your image is. And her image is very, very clandestine. And to see her drinking a beer at the game was probably not the best idea. Now, for everybody who wants to get in a snit, and say, oh, Taylor Swift's 34, she can drink if she wants, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's fine. But why haven't we seen her drinking anywhere else? Why haven't we seen her drinking at the concerts? Why haven't we seen her drinking at restaurants? I assume she goes out to restaurants. Why haven't we seen her drinking anywhere else? She's hurting her image. And the fact that I know about this from just reading the newspapers this morning, she's got a very, very, very young audience that looked up to her, that looks up to her. And you have got to be, you've got to be aware of that. Now, if you're willing to smash that all into 1,000 pieces, go right ahead and do it. Just go right ahead and do it. But don't say people didn't warn you. Don't say people didn't say your image is very clandestine. Your image is very girly girl. Your image is very, your fan base is very young. And you drinking on the most watched television broadcast since the Apollo moon landing, this is not a good place to do this. I just think she's making a horrible mistake here. I'm not saying Taylor Swift's going to go away, but I certainly think she's damaging her career. She's damaging her brand, and I think somebody better pay attention to it. And coincidentally, this goes hand in hand with being the most watched broadcast of all time behind the Apollo moon landing. Everybody's seeing what you're doing. You've got to be self-aware. This is not a concert. Yes, you might get 50,000 people in a stadium. 50,000 people. We're talking about 123 million saw you drink that beer. 123 million are disapproving of you. Do you know what 34% of 123 million is? I'd have to do the math here. I'm not going to do that. But think about that. 34% of 123 million. It's not the people in your stadium. Those people are buying a ticket. They're for you. The people watching the Super Bowl are not buying a ticket to see you. And you're creating a rift that I think you're not going to want to create. Now, does anybody have anything to say about any of this before I move on to the next subject? Because I'm not done yet. I got one more thing I want to cover here. And then we can roll on. Now, if you want me to cover the next thing and then we can open up the phone lines, we can do that as well. But the phone lines are 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Those are the lines and these are the numbers. I didn't create these numbers. Numerator did this poll. And I didn't. She drank on the Jumbotron. That's just the way it is. And I think some of her music talks about not drinking. Now, I am not a Taylor Swift aficionado, but I believe that's the case. So it seems a little disingenuous for her to do that in front of 123 million people. But again, whatever you want to do, Taylor, you got your $1 billion. But, you know, I really did always believe that Taylor Swift was a very smart business person. You know, date the guy, write the song, sell a million copies, billion copies, whatever. That's fine. Good business person, no problem there. Time Magazine Person of the Year. She should be very proud. It's all very good. But you've got people turning against you at this point and drinking on the Jumbotron didn't help your career any at all either. And I'll tell you what else didn't help your career. And a lot of people aren't going to like this, but certainly isn't the first time on the program we've said something that people don't like. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but, you know, a lot can happen in 24 hours. Travis Kelce, during the game, grabs the coach. During the game. His coach pushes him about, knocks him over, bumps into him, whatever you want to say. During the game. And just to make sure we get this right. His coach, Andy Reid, by the way. The headline is, Travis Kelce suffers Super Bowl sideline meltdown as Taylor Swift's boyfriend pushes his coach, Andy Reid, 65, and screams in his face. During the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce clashed with coach Andy Reid on the sidelines. Kelce's frustration for not receiving the ball led to a meltdown. Travis Kelce's family, including his brother Jason and Taylor Swift's parents, were in were present at the event. Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and most people seem to feel that this was not a good look for him. Okay. Well, there are articles on the front page of the USA Today, I think still the most popular newspaper in the country. Travis Kelce's Super Bowl tirade should not just be overlooked. Now, I heard a lot of people defending it yesterday, but I'll tell you what, I heard a lot of people who didn't like it. And again, that's very interesting. You know what? Even if you like this guy, fine. I don't know how you defend this. I really don't. It was poor sportsmanship. Whether he's a coach or not, he's a 65-year-old man, Andy Reid. If I walked out on the street today and grabbed a hold of a 65-year-old man and shoved him and screamed in his face, I don't think you'd like it. Now, some people say, well, why would you do that? Okay, well, let's say I go find somebody I know, and I don't like what they're saying. And I grab a hold of that 65-year-old person, and I scream in their face, and I shove them. Is that okay? I mean, if your kid was playing sport, you know, baseball season's coming up. Is that what you do when you don't like the plays? You grab a hold of the coach and you shove him? And people were defending this. Like, he's just passionate. He got a lot of passion for the game, and he's just full of it. Well, I'm sure that's true. I'm sure he's got a lot of passion for the game, and I'm sure that's great. But you know what? You don't do that. And it would have been looked badly if other people had done it. It would have been looked on as a bad thing to do. And I'm not sure where people are coming from. You know, for a long time, I thought there were people who were, unfortunately, saying negative things about these two because they had their little relationship. You know, I don't so much believe that anymore. I'm starting to think it's going the other way. I'm starting to think that people are defending these two because of their little romance, defending them when they don't need to. And back to her image, I don't think, because certainly everybody knew it was her boyfriend, in front of 123 million people, that was the best sign for, again, this girl who preaches independence and being a good person and so on and so forth. I don't think that was the best move. And you know what? You can disagree with me, whatever. But that's my opinion. And for people to defend that, you know what? You could defend him and say, listen, I like him. He's a great player. He lost it for a second. He shouldn't have done it, but it is what it is. You can't unding that bell. Now, I can understand that. But to defend what he did, you know, I don't know how you defend it. I honestly don't get that. And to be honest with you, it's unfortunate if you do defend that, because I wonder what your relation is with the people in your life. And again, I'm not saying that defending that makes you any kind of a violent person. I'm just saying clearly you think that that's okay in a sporting sense. Whatever. Again, doesn't do her any favors with her fan base. Okay. 53 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have anything to say about any of these topics? Kind of the Super Bowl redux this morning. Yesterday we got the score and the halftime show and the ads and the pictures and all that sort of thing. Today it's a little more deep, you know, because we've learned what happened. And you have to be cognizant when you've got 123 million people watching you of what you do. And it's shocking to me that somebody who has done so well, like a Taylor Swift, is completely unaware of what went on Sunday and how this is going to play. You know, if you're a diehard Taylor Swift fan, it's probably going to play very well with you. But if you are just an average person who goes to her concerts, I don't know that that's going to play very well, anything that happened. And again, if you don't like the coverage, stop making a big deal of everything. You know, me, who didn't even watch the game, to be honest with you, I was surprised. I didn't watch all of the game, I should say. I was surprised. I mean, I knew how much her necklace cost. I knew what shirt she was wearing. I knew how much her jeans cost. I knew when she arrived at the building. Well, don't cover it like that if you don't want the bad as well. And again, I understand why people defend her. I have no doubt about that. But these things are not defendable. I think the best action here is, you know, boy, let's not do that again. That probably wasn't the best thing to do. But there you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it this morning. So there you get a little opinion. And again, phone lines are open, 55 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What do you think about this being the most watched broadcast since the moon landing in 1969? Do you have any thoughts on should she have drank the beer at the game? Oh, does this say anything about her? Does it mean anything? What do you think about Kelsey, the football player, grabbing a hold of 65-year-old Coach Andy Reid? Is that okay? Do we just flush that down the toilet and say, well, he really wanted to win. He was high energy, so it's okay. It's okay to do that. And, highest rated broadcast since the moon landing. Isn't that something? Well, those are the stories this morning, as near as I could tell. And if you have anything to say, give me a buzz, and we can certainly discuss those. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I will tell you, the disapproval ratings for her, I think, say something. I think people are getting burnt out on these people. And I can understand that people are getting burnt out on these people. They're there all the time. You can't get away from them. And I think that has led to high disapproval ratings for her. Like I said, if you are a politician and your disapproval ratings match your approval ratings, you are in a bad place. And I certainly think that she's in a bad place right now. I think the longer this goes, the worse it will be for her career. Does anybody have an opinion on that? Do you think the longer this goes, the worse it's going to be for her career? I tend to believe that. I think that this is not going to be good on the long haul. Now, it's certainly not going to destroy her career. You don't destroy a billion-dollar career overnight. But I don't know if on the whole, on the long haul, that this is going to be a good idea for her. I would have thought that she would have people around her and been smarter than this during a game that was watched by that many people. I don't quite understand that. I don't know where her people were. Maybe they were tired from the Tokyo trip the night before. Just very strange, in my opinion. And again, why are we paying attention to this? Well, because it's on the covers of all the papers today. And you're certainly going to see the story about the Super Bowl ratings being the highest since the moon landing in 1969. Although, remember that last year's Super Bowl was also the highest rated thing since the moon landing in 1969, although it was not phrased that way. Now, it looks like she brought about 8 million viewers to this Super Bowl this year. Okay, so that's where it is. 59 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. Now, we can talk about any of that, or we can talk about President's Day. We can talk about Valentine's Day. That's tomorrow. This is Valentine's Day Eve. Get all your stuff ready. Get ready for people, because tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And again, I want to say, I think she should stay in her lane, which is music. I think he should stay in his lane, which is football. Because essentially what this is saying is that we don't like her being at the games. We find it distracting. We find it annoying. And at some point, you can choose to ignore that. But when it starts to hurt you in your career, I don't think you can ignore it anymore. Is it a big deal if somebody takes a drink at a game? I mean, I don't think you should be made to walk the plank for that. But I just think when your image is so clandestine, herein lies the problem. All right, we're going to break. We'll talk more about this after. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy.